John Stephenson is a foreign correspondent, senior journalist from New Zealand. He's made his name travelling the world, particularly in the Middle East, reporting facts, reporting events. And it's a pleasure that he joins us now here on the line from Beirut. John Stephenson, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Wallace.
Good to hear from you, John. You're in Beirut at the moment. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening there with the aftermath of the siege of Nahal Barad? The latest reports that we've heard is that people are starting to filter back after this vicious incursion by the Lebanese troops.
That's right. The people are slowly returning, but there have been a lot of issues raised recently about the treatment of detainees, the people that the Lebanese military arrested on suspicion of links with the group that was fighting them, that's Fatah al-Islam. Yeah. And I guess your listeners may know that, may recall it, the battle lasted about 106 days. It was a very vicious fight at the Nahal Barad camp, the Palestinian refugee camp near Tripoli, north of Beirut, and it cost the lives of quite a few people, 158 Lebanese soldiers. There's supposedly over 200 Fatah al-Islam militants that were killed, and an unknown number of the Palestinian refugees whose camp was pretty much destroyed. Mm. And 40,000 refugees were displaced, a huge number. And I've been speaking this week with a New Zealand journalist who's here, who's done some great work on this story. That's Yasmin Ryan, who has been doing some very good investigative work, and she's written an article recently which uncovered the fact that many of these people have been arrested on tenuous grounds, and even tortured. So it's a very, very disturbing story, and it's a very sad story because the Lebanese people feel very angry and very betrayed by Palestinian refugees whose camp was the basis for this fight, and there seems to be a lot of punishment being meted out to them, including many innocent people.
John, can you tell us an idea what does the local Beirut person, or the local Lebanese on the street, I guess, what do they make of the refugees in this camp? Do they have any relationship to them at all, or do they just consider them as outcasts, outsiders?
Well, I think there was a great deal of sympathy and tolerance for Palestinians, and of course Lebanon has been home for many years to huge numbers of Palestinian refugees, and the Palestinian cause is something that's very dear to the hearts of a lot of people, a lot of Arabs in the Middle East, and the Lebanese are no exception. But I guess the fact that this very violent, extreme group, whether it's organized from Syria or whether it's a more Al-Qaeda type organization, that's not clear yet, but in any case, the fact that that group, Fatah al-Islam, was able to launch such a vicious assault on the Lebanese military from within a refugee camp has made many of the Lebanese very, very angry and bitter. They feel like we gave these people a home, and this is how they've repaid us. But of course, the refugees, most of them are innocent of any involvement. Yeah. They weren't responsible for that, but they have been tarred with the same brush. I mean, some of them clearly have supported to some extent, whether it's getting food or water or giving medical treatment to the Fatah al-Islam militants. They've done something, to help them or to aid them. But it's very, very clear that most of these refugees, most of these 40,000 people, are entirely innocent. And yet they've been displaced, their homes have been destroyed, they've been beaten up. And now, as Yasmin Ryan has uncovered in a very good article recently, they're being imprisoned, many of them illegally, many of them won't face trial until the end of March 2008. And many of them have been arrested, as I said, on very, very dubious ground, some for not having correct papers at checkpoints.
John, you've been to Nahal Barad camp. Can you give us an insight? Can you give us, those who have no idea of these sorts of camps or places, what it's really like?
The camp itself is not a camp as you would sort of imagine, a few pitched tents or a scouting jamboree. It's a very well-established town with many, many people living in it. As I said, 40,000 people have been displaced from that camp. So it's a huge, it's a city basically, it's a small city, and the conditions there were not abject misery, but then again, they were fairly, it was a fairly low rent kind of place.
Yeah.
And And yet it was like many refugee camps where people move in and then, you know, an era of permanence is established. They had running water, they had electricity, they had television, they had internet. But, you know, certainly they were not on a par with living conditions of average Lebanese. I mean, they had difficulty getting work, they had difficulty, you know, having a sort of a normal life. And, of course, like many refugees, they have that sense of dislocation and alienation and not belonging to the society in which they find themselves. Mm.
Talking to John Stevens now, before, while you're here, I just want to get ask you a couple of questions, because you have been in Iraq, you've spent a lot of time in Iraq, and I understand that you will be going back, heaven forbid, you know, look after your safety, John. Now, but the big news here and the big news around the world has been these private contractors, or some may say mercenaries, have been operating inside Iraq. Have you had any experience or dealings or seen these people in operation in Iraq?
I have indeed, Wallace, and I guess anyone who's familiar with Iraq and has worked there as a correspondent will know that many of these military contractors, particularly, I'm sorry to say, the US ones, operate in quite a shameful manner. The stories are legion of them being trigger-happy, of them being arrogant, of throwing their weight around, of racing through the streets of Baghdad and other cities and SUVs and convoys and literally ramming other vehicles off the road as they drive through. They say it's because they're scared of you know, being shot at or bombs going off, but really they have created an incredible amount of anger and resentment and animosity amongst Iraqi civilians, and really they're poster children for all that's wrong with what's happened in Iraq. They've given Westerners in general and Americans in particular a very, very bad name.
John Stevenson, all the very best to you. Now, you're heading from Beirut back to Iraq, I understand, fairly shortly.
Via Syria.
Via Syria, yeah. Well, do take care in your travels.
Look, I will indeed, Wallace, and it's a pleasure talking to you, and just want to thank you for your continued interest in the Middle East. It's a very topical story, and particularly Iraq, as you know, there's events being played out there and in surrounding countries like Syria and Jordan with huge amounts of refugees. That is a very important story, and sadly it's one that the world's media, and I guess we're no exception, New Zealand, has probably had a tendency to neglect. So thanks for your interest in the story, and I hope your listeners continue to follow it.
John Stevenson from Beirut, thanks for joining us.